You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Sisters and brothers around this blue-green globe spinning in the darkness of space. Good afternoon, good evening, and good morning, depending on your latitude or longitude. Well, I'd like to first of all announce I was going to be speaking with Emily McCulloch regarding homeschooling. It would have been a great subject, but sadly she's offline, probably due to the storm, having been able to raise her, so we'll have to leave that for another day. So, if you would like to call in, I am very happy to read your Seven Ray reading, your Ray package. Do call in on 347-688-2902. That's 347-688-2902. If you're in the UK and you're on Skype, you can connect to me. Give me a message in the chat room there. Apart from that, well, good afternoon and good evening. What a day! What a week! Pretty intense energies. It's harp is running full blast. I think, you know, all the other little harps, the whatever they're called, the little gigahertz, gigabyte stations, not the gigawatt stations that you know, you can have on a ship or on the back of a truck somewhere. These all seem to be in operation, all steering the storm according to how they said it would go. Isn't that convenient for them? I never knew we had that much control over storms. Seems we do. But they do seem to be putting an awful lot of energy into the atmosphere, using the harp and harp-type arrays. And certainly a lot of the sensitive folk are feeling it. I've been feeling for the last kind of week or so. I've been feeling weak for the last week. You know, I normally run up the stairs two steps at a time, and it's like I have to walk up the stairs. My legs feel wobbly, and walking down the stairs is even weirder. It's like my legs are like an inch thick. It's a very, very odd feeling. So, if anybody would like a reading, I'm going to be doing Seven Ray readings, or if anybody just wants to call in and discuss the esoteric meaning behind the current world situation, I'll be happy to do that too. Is there a moderator in the house? All right. So I don't know if there's any. So questions in the chat room in uppercase, please. And as I said, you can call in on 347-688-2902. So, having no guest, I was going to be talking about homeschooling. Not experienced it myself. My children went to a Steiner school. I don't know if you guys have heard of Steiner, but yeah. So I'll just have a quick word about Steiner schools, because that's the reason we moved up to the north of Scotland here, is to send our children to this Steiner school that they have here. Rudolf Steiner was a anthroposophist. Sorry, it's a very difficult word to say. Anthroposophist, which is basically, it was a kind of sort of cross between secularity and Christianity in terms of a teaching that the Christ was a real person. And that he had real teachings, but it's a more scientific rather than a kind of belief or faith-based approach to Christianity. he was a very, very learned man, Mr. Steiner. He's a bit like a kind of Nikola Tesla for education. He was very, very inspired. And he came up with this idea that that he could revolutionize education, because he studied children. He studied the growth of children, you know, from the embryo upwards, and noticed that children all go through the same kind of stages, almost at the time. And so we have a large body of information. So what he did with this information is he went up to a local cigarette factory. Now this is about 80, 90 years ago, you know, in the late teens and 20s. It was a Waldorf cigarette company that he went to. It was a local place, and that he said, you know, all your women here who are working at your factory, they all have children. Can I teach them? Can you get them to bring them into the school and teach them? And this became the first Waldorf school. So in certain parts of the world, it's known as Waldorf education as opposed to Steiner education, but it's the same thing. And basically, instead of teaching curricula, you know, this is what we do in history, this is what we do in geography, you know, all these separate things, that it would be a whole different approach, and it would model the evolution of consciousness. So he would do ancient times, he would do ancient Egypt, and they'd have plays, so they would act it out, they would build landscapes, basically completely get into the whole area. So they would know how they lived, they know the sort of food that they'd eat, and you know, the kind of knowledge that they had, what philosophers were about, what they were teaching. And essentially the school goes like that. It doesn't go like, you know, today we're doing English. You know, they would have this thing, and they would be focused on it. So it would be like 2 or 3 weeks that they'd be going through ancient Egypt, and then they'd say go to ancient Greece, and maybe a bit of Babylon, and then the Rome, and etc., etc. And so every layer of information is based on the previous layer. And so the idea is that you get a very rounded kind of education. The education that is holistic, really, because it's not divided into subjects. You know, you learn history, you relearn geography, you learn home economics, you learn politics all at the same time, because it's part of the evolution of humanity. So, that's the idea of a Steiner school, and the children go there, and we have one quite here, quite locally. They also do a thing called Eurythmy, which is it's a bit weird looking, but basically it's coordinating movements with sound, and with the movement of the body to bring it into a kind of harmony. So again, it's a holistic approach to what would normally be a kind of divided subject, you know, dance and movement, things like that. JP's journey talks your own. Right, okay. So, again, if you'd like to call in, I can talk about all sorts of stuff, but let's talk about Revolution Radio. We're on 347-688-2902. I have to field this call. What's that? What have they just said? Something to me. Oh, right. Yes, okay. Yes, I will. Okay. Yep, so I've got got a full evening ahead of me. That should be quite fun. So, TalkStream Live. I don't know how TalkStream Live works. But apparently you can get through to me. You can get through to all the Revolution Radio shows. So, Revolution Radio, by the way, is listener supported. That means that if you don't give us any donations, then eventually this thing will wither away and die. And you don't really want that, because this is quite fun, isn't it? So if you could go to Revolution Radio and look for the button. It's a big yellow button that says donate. Click on the donate button and pop a few PayPal credits into the coffers, and that would make everything very good. Also, if you're on Wall Spirit Radio and you're listening to that, same scenario. Go to the donate button and pop a few pennies in. A little bit every so often won't do any harm at all. So, that's good, that's good, that's good. So, thank you everybody for helping with Revolution Radio. I would like to speak to somebody, because sometimes, you know, you can sit here just talking about stuff. I don't have the kind of it's like a kind of emotional drive for it. Well, not today anyway. Feeling a bit flat and unexpressive. Oh, thank you. There's my girlfriend. She's a Steiner parent here. And she just explained eurythmy is actually the very sounds of a language expressed in gesture. It's quite mystical, if a little weird. Yes, she's going to have a look for a YouTube. So yeah, so thank you, Wolf Baby, for talking about eurythmy. Get then. What? I don't know. Sorry, Joe Bear. I have no idea what that means, get then. But yes. Oh, I see. JP's Journey. Oh, it's called JP's Journey. How funny. I never saw that. So, is everybody all right with the storm? Presumably those who have been cut out with electricity, who've got no electricity, won't be listening to the show today. I hope everything's calmed down over there. According to my insider contact, it'll take at least 9 days for them to try again to create a very destructive storm. Obviously, there's a kind of battle going on between various factions here. We're caught in the middle, and it's presumably some kind of blackmail that is being levied onto the American people. You know, vote for Romney and we'll stop the storms. Vote for Obama and we'll keep them going. Or the other way around. I don't know who's who. But it's very good to. It's very good to recognize that we are in the midst of a battle, and possibly the final battle. I mean, we're looking at a lot of stuff coming out in UK just at the moment. There was, I might have mentioned it a couple of shows ago, but there was a disc jockey from our most popular radio station, Radio 1, run by the BBC, which has been... He's been shown to have abused and raped and God knows what else hundreds, if not thousands, of young girls over his 50-year career. He died last year, and only now is the story coming out. But it turns out that he's a procurer. He's a fixer. In fact, he had a TV show in the 70s and 80s called Jim Will Fix It, which, you know, looking back on this, seeing this, you can see how cynical that the show was named. You go, he was a fixer. He was a fixer for the Illuminati, for the royal family, for the Prime Minister of Britain, for other celebrities. He would fix things. He would make sure that they had whatever they needed, be it, you know, if they liked cocaine or if they liked, or like marijuana, or if they like, you know, heroin, or whatever they liked. You know, if they like girls, he would get girls. If they like boys, he would get boys. If they like children, he would get children. Basically, he was knighted. He's Sir Jimmy Savile, he's raised lots of money for charity. But now we're thinking, he raised lots of money. Maybe a lot of that money was raised because it was to keep people quiet. And that he would blackmail people as well. It's, you know, I don't know if he is doing that, but it's par for the course, that kind of thing. So, yes, Get up, JP means hollow them into chat, my friend. All right. Yeah, do come along to the chat room, which you will find in Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. That's freedomslips.com. I like Freedom's Lips as opposed to Freedom Slips. Out come out from Freedom's Lips we speak. So, that's lovely. Where are we going from here? Do call in, if you can, on the number, which is now invisible to me. 347-688-2902, in small white letters on a black background. Very difficult to know. Oh, so there we go. Yes, it's lovely to be here on Revolution Radio, and lovely big chat rooms there on Rev. Anybody who wants to call in, anybody who hasn't had a Ray reading, I would recommend it. You never know what other information is going to come along here. Peruvian flake. That's right. Yeah, and the thing is, yeah, that's right. He wore loads of bling, what you'd call bling now. But this is like from the 60s, from the 70s, you know. He had these big gold chains and great big gold rings, and he smoked this enormously fat cigar. And he had this fantastic little chair of his, like the captain's chair in Star Trek. He would just, you know, he'd be like, you know, considered himself royalty. Had his chance to, you know, to rape a vast number of people, of all descriptions, you know, no one was safe really. But now it turns out that there are, politicians who are still alive and celebrities who are still alive who he has been, who he procured for in the past. And, these people have now started coming out. I pulled one off the, off the internet yesterday, one of my pages. I'll just check what his name is. I think it's Peter Robinson, but I'm not entirely sure. But I'm just going to check my page because I was looking at that. It turns out that there are plenty and plenty of people. There we go, Peter Morrison. There we go. He's still alive. He was an aide of Margaret Thatcher. Now that's going back to the 80s. And so, gradually, we're going to see more and more people being outed, really, and it's no bad thing. These people have betrayed our trust, betrayed everything. In fact, you know, let's look at this. We've got reports of paedophilia that come in from judges. We've got it coming in from celebrities. We've got it coming in from members of political organizations and you know, big name politicians. There is the Jeffrey Gannon situation. There's the Free Franklin, the Franklin scandal. If you Google Franklin scandal, Franklin as in Benjamin, Franklin scandal, or conspiracy of silence, you'll come up with a TV show that was made in Britain, but it was made about America, and it was about this American situation where there were rent boys who were wandering around the White House in the 80s. About the time of Margaret Thatcher, okay, work it out, guys. They had free access to the rooms in the White House, so they were wandering around the place. They turned out to have been boys that were like kidnapped from at a very early age, mind controlled and turned into sex slaves. That's the Franklin scandal, and there was a boys' home or a children's home that was involved in that. Then you've got the latest one in the States, which is Jerry Sandusky, he's not as high profile as Jimmy Savile here is, but it is opening up the window to what is going on in the world of reality. I've had a couple of friends who've kind of moaned at me a little bit about saying, you know, look, you're looking at all these paedophiles, you're looking at all this stuff. It's showing something inside of you that that needs attention. I'm not actually convinced of that. I see it outside. I see this as a sad indictment of what is wrong with our world. Our world is run by these people. It's run by paedophiliac, raping psychopaths who really ought to be taken away. I don't care what happens to them afterwards, but I'd rather not have laws made by paedophilic psychopaths. Don't know about you. What do you think? Call in. Let's see. You know, let's see where this journey takes us. 347-688-2902. Call in. And tell me what you think. Yes. So we have no one calling in yet. What's happening here? Is there? No, there's nothing there. Okay. So what I'd like to do is, where is it? 20 past. So we have 40 minutes left on the show. I'd like to fill it with some readings. If anybody would like to come in on the phone, and I'll read your ray energies. Okay, so what are the rays? Let's just have a quick talk about that. The rays are everywhere, and you know they are what everything is made from. You know, everybody says, you know, it's we're all light at the end of the day. You know. The light is a frequency. All frequencies are divisible into octaves, and octaves are divisible into scales. You know, I'm talking about musical scales, not scales on a little zone. Scales like that. And every scale, every octave has the same scale, and it's still A, B, C, D, E, F, G. And if you go up, if you imagine yourself looking at a piano, you've got the octave in front of you, a middle C, and then an octave up. So let me just demonstrate that. That's one octave, and then that's the next octave up. And I can't get up to this one. It starts somewhere up there. It starts on the. On my highest note there. So the scales just go on forever, and obviously they lose meaning. You can't call that an A or a B flat when you're talking about light. So we have these things called colors, and the spectrum, what we see as a spectrum or the rainbow, is an octave of light. Ah, Mr. Ra. Let's see, we'll talk rays. We bring you into this conference. Rockmeister!
JP!
How are you doing, mate? How are you? Can you hear me?
Back.
There you are. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
All right.
It auto-drops on join, so...
All right. Okay. So, how are you doing today, Rock?
It's been a fun day. Tiring, but... been enjoying the day.
Excellent. Excellent. Yes. So now we know your rays. We've been talking about those today, but you've been listening. And you, what were you doing on the last show?
I called in.
Uh huh. Okay. Nothing that. Yeah. Okay. So I'm just. Ah, I see. Philip is saying that the reason about the paedophile thing is to scare families into microchipping their children. That's a very interesting thing. That's very true. Have you been having any scandals like that over in Holland?
I think some of them also relate to paedophile in Netherlands.
Mm.
And those also relate to royalties and the elite and the court system and the child support. And that all relates back to the Vatican Files and to England and eventually back to Hollywood.
Mm.
And that has been talked about by many other people also, how that may or may not play out.
Yeah, that's very interesting, the whole Hollywood connection, because...
that's still to come, though, so that's going to be a bomb.
Yeah, that's going to be a big bomb. You know, it's been rumoured many times, you know, that there's all sorts of weirdness goes on in Hollywood. There's the thing about the military, there's a kind of underground military complex somewhere in Hollywood where they make all the dark films, like snuff movies and things like that, that are run by a military. That's a bit strange. But back to Europe, and so you've got, in the Netherlands, you have a royalty, don't you?
Yep, we got Queen Beatrix.
Ah, nice. I like Beatrix. I like the name Beatrix. It's a very nice name. But obviously she's not quite nice, because she's a queen. You don't get to be king or queen by being a nice person, do you?
Well, it's all about power, empowering kingdoms. And it's been like that for a while. And we have a government, like a separation of state and church, but the queen is still on top of the government. We don't have a president in that way, like the USA.
No.
She still pulls the strings behind the scenes in the political scene.
Yeah. So, did you call in on Skype?
Yes.
On my regular Skype. Okay. So, I don't know if you've got the thing going on. There's the Revolution radio number should be 347-688-2902. But if it's possible to connect using Skype, I'm Jeremy.Perron, Jeremy dot Perron.
Or search for the name Freedom Screen.
Yeah, oh, Freedom Screen will get you in as well. That's the connection into the Revolution Radio thing. So yes, in Child Goes Missing. Yes, Madeleine McCann is the child that went missing, that appears to have been taken into a paedophile ring. I'm just looking at the chat room here, where are we? What were we talking? What was the other thing? Yeah, about the microchipping children and things like that. So that it's part of a kind of big campaign. But I don't think it's going to be that people are going to be safe if they microchip their children. I really think this is going to backfire on the powers that be.
I think it's going to be like a blame game.
Yeah.
They are being pointed at that, and to evade all of that, they distract and blame that one, and then that blows up and then backfires, and then... it's even more in the open and obvious for everybody to see.
Mm.
And yeah. It will just expose itself.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that...
it's on so many layers, that's the other part there.
I think in terms of the press has been suppressed for years. Interesting. That for years and years and years, they've known... that this stuff goes on, but they haven't been able to publicize it. But I think there are more and more people that are coming out, more and more people coming forward saying, yes, they raped me, and they raped this person, and, we have another person. It's going to be a bit of a snowball, this one. So, let's bring in... Michael. Hello, Michael.
Hello. Oops, I got my other radio. Hang on a second.
All right. There we go. Yes. Jeremy.com.
I had the radio on the background. Yo, what's up, home slice?
I'm sorry?
How's it hanging?
It's very good. It's hanging very well, and very warm here, because I overloaded my wood-burning stove, and I cremated my dinner. Turned it all into carbon, so I'm cooking some more. So it's all very, very warm here. Very lovely.
Well, it's 74 degrees here in Southern California.
Ah, Southern California. So, Michael, how are you doing?
Pretty good. I heard you were talking about the Luciferians and stuff. On my show tomorrow, my Halloween show, I'm going to talk about Aleister Crowley and Anton LaVey.
Ooh, the big boys.
The big boys.
Yes. And
just kind of go over their lives and, you know, how much of it was hyperbole and myth and propaganda and how much of it is true.
Well, bearing in mind that propaganda is kind of their idea, you might well find that there is a lot of lie in amongst the truth.
Well, LaVey, certainly, he was a showman. He used to be a carnival guy. You know, he knew how to, he was very theatrical about it, but he was also serious about it, too.
Mm. And L. Ron Hoover? No, L. Ron Hubbard.
Yeah, L. Ron Hubbard was connected to... well, I want to talk about the Moonchild ritual. You know, is that true? You know, you know about Crowley's Moonchild ritual, right?
Yeah, that Hubbard and Jack Parsons did without Crowley's knowledge or something.
No, they did it with Crowley, and supposedly birthed Barbara Pierce Bush.
That's right.
As to be the mother of the progeny of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, which would be the four Bush brothers, that these progeny, Crowley believed, would bring about the apocalypse.
Well, they've been doing pretty well so far.
I mean, if you look at, you know, some believe that 9/11, that was a big blood sacrifice to Satan. Sure.
Sure, indeed. Oh, who's Kat?
What's that?
I think the cat's agreeing. Somebody's cat's agreeing.
Oh, that's my cat. Yeah, that's Poe. My cat, Poe.
Poe. Hello, Poe. Bless. So, yeah, because there's a lot of talk about, you know, victim mentality and not to blame others and all of this stuff and, you know, to try and owner it all. But there is, to me, there's a lot of, you know, these people are predatory. They don't ask permission. They don't say, do you want this to happen? They'll just take you. And they'll do what they can to get their way, including drugging you and mind controlling you and brainwashing you and all this stuff. That it takes your they do work around your free will for their purposes, don't they?
Yeah, well, you were just talking about the whole Hollywood thing. I know that stuff goes on, but you know there is hyperbole and and myths and, you know, big long stories that get thrown around. You know, like their, you know, rituals and sacrifices with, you know, Barbara Streisand or whatever, you know. Mm. And who knows, you know, maybe is it all true or is it all just BS?
Very hard to tell, isn't it? Very hard to tell. And that's why, you know, a lot of people are very reluctant to come forward just in case they think, well, maybe it was an implanted memory. Maybe I didn't really get raped by this, this pimp-looking bloke. But he does so much work for charity. He must be a good guy. Right, yeah. Somebody's, Joe Bear is agreeing with you about Crowley being Barbara Bush's dad.
They look a lot.
Yeah, oh, she rules the roost. And there's this other thing about Crowley's spirit being, moved from his body into another younger body.
That's some people say he's been doing that. You know, that he was Rasputin, and that he just goes from body to body throughout the centuries.
Mm.
There's some new internet rumors that he time traveled to here right now via Montauk, since he was, you know, involved with Jack Parsons, and you know they did the Moonchild ritual at Montauk.
Right.
At the island. I don't know. Sure, why not?
Yeah. Yeah. But
that's what I wanted to get at is just how whatever the truth is and how a lot of these stories propagate around them, whether they're done intentionally to make them seem larger than life, or if it's just a bunch of internet stuff or what.
Well, yeah, I think there is definitely a bit of theater involved to make it seem really scary. And it is pretty scary, and, you know, having somebody sort of stabbing at you murdering you and doing stuff like that, that's pretty scary stuff. And doing it in front of people, that's scary too. But there's, it's all about stealing your juices. It's about sucking on that, the energy of your fear. Have you seen Monsters, Inc.?
Yes.
Yeah, this whole thing about, you know, they scare the children and then they collect it and they run their country on the fear of children, which is, you know, that's what the Monsters, Inc. film is all about. And apparently there is quite a large angle of truth in that the fear that they've generated using, you know, for creating 9/11 and all of the other fearful things, and the frustration, you know, the TSA thing, you know, it's a very frustrating experience to be made powerless, that frustration also goes to feed them. It's really hard to not feed these beasts. I don't know what's your take on that.
Well, so if people just became complacent about the TSA and that stuff, they wouldn't be able to feed off of it?
I don't know. Somehow we need to transform it. More than complacent, it needs to be like almost like a joyful movement through, knowing that you're putting good energy into something that doesn't like good energy. They don't feed on love. It's like a toxin to them. That's why. Because those emanations are lunch to them.
Right.
Have you come across the Archons? You know about the story of the Archons?
I've never met an Archon that I know of, but I know about them, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't think I've met one personally. Hopefully I haven't. But I imagine that if you met a person who was possessed by an Archon, the first thing that you'd want to do is go away and sleep, because it would probably drain you of your energy.
Right.
Yeah. There's so many Archons are being taken off the planet at the moment, but they need to be identified, and so, you know, people who are going around being like the major fundamental scaremongers are very likely to be either controlled or influenced by an Archon. You know, whether it's, you know, being inside the body of a human or, you know, an external kind of influence like that, it seems.
Well, in the Gnostic texts, they describe, there's two Archons. They said the lizard ones, the reptilian ones, and then they describe the other ones as looking like a fetus, which just kind of looks like the grays. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that indicates that the greys and the reptilians are the Archons, or are there different kinds? Or,
well, from what I understand, the grey is a robot. It's like a body, like, right. Avatar. You know, like in the film Avatar, the guy gets in the box and he's steering this thing by remote control.
Right.
That's what the greys are. That there is an intelligence that runs them.
Sure, it's like them putting on a glove or a.
Yeah, or a spacesuit or something. Yeah.
A spacesuit to come into our reality.
Yeah. So, Robert Monroe of the Monroe Institute came up with this word, and I love this word. It's loosh, LOOSH, which is the name for these fearful emanations that these creatures feed on. And it's almost like a friendly term, but it's a very interesting idea that something is feeding on this stuff that we're emanating. So if you want to starve them out, you have to have a very light and joyful and loving disposition about you, and they can't get near you. Yeah, so it's the same as when, you know, somebody's bringing you under psychic attack. They can only attack you if they've got something on you, if they know that you've got some fear or other of something, so that they can play on that, you know, whether you're scared of spiders or, you know, this or that. So what time is your show, Michael?
8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Okay.
We'll actually be 4 p.m. Pacific for me, because I'm going to be broadcasting from Mexico, and they changed their time last week.
Yeah, we changed ours last Sunday. So.
Oh, you did too? Yeah, I guess everyone does except us.
Yeah, I'm in the week of hell. The week of not knowing what the heck time it is, because everything changes. So I'm just writing out. But my solution this year, because last year I had this thing, and you know, I was an hour out, and I kept on missing shows and really badly messing up, and we lost a lot of cues that time. I have a computer that is actually locked onto Pacific time, so I've got the one behind me is in UK time, and the one in front of me is Pacific time, so I can just keep it all together.
So are you in London, or...?
No, I was born in London, but I live in a place called Moray, which is the north end of Scotland.
Oh, okay.
And near a place which is called Findhorn. Some people will have heard of Findhorn. It's a kind of a new age community, intentional community, that they had these connections with these elemental spirits, which allowed them to learn what it is in the local area that they needed to feed the plants with. They discovered it was a particular form of kelp. And it turns out that the rest of the village also has been doing this for hundreds of years. But they grew cabbages, and these cabbages turned out to be the size of beach balls.
Wow.
And, you know, this is what they call the Findhorn magic. But it's essentially, you know, there are nutrients all around. You just have to tune in and dig in the appropriate amount of stuff, and it'll look after the plants, obviously it'll make them thrive. So there's all sorts of stuff that you just need to tune into.
I've never been to Scotland, although I have an account with the Bank of Scotland.
Oh, do you?
Royal Bank of Scotland. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, all right. Philip's talking about the death of Paul McCartney.
And then the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, Aleister Crowley
twice.
He's on there twice.
Yeah, he's once at the back and once on the right near the bloody doll. He's a doll, a baby doll.
John Lennon was a big Crowley fan.
Mm. Yes, and it seems that the replacement McCartney was seriously a big Crowley fan. You know, he was obviously he was involved in the whole Tavistock MI5 thing, because that's how they did the plastic surgery. You know, they used the MI5 facilities for their spies.
Right.
So he got completely involved in all that. He's actually quite a talented person, because he managed to, you know, impersonate Paul McCartney for a start, and sort of fake his voice. But, you know, as a musician, I can tell straight away that that's not the same person playing the bass.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, for instance, if you listen to early Paul McCartney songs, the way he plays the bass is kind of like as what I call mellifluous. So it's like Come Together. That's like taken from an old master tape that he must have made then. That's a kind of a bluesy kind of thing. But if you listen to most of the stuff, and it also became a kind of signature Beatles thing, because he was a piano player, he wasn't a bass player. And so all the stuff after he joined was all kind of had this pedestrian beat, you know. And in the end, you know, all that, dun, 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 it became a kind of signature beat for the Beatles. And, you know, you think of, you know, the end of Strawberry Fields Together, Strawberry Fields Forever. You hear all that stuff, and this pedestrian piano, dang, 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 dang. And you don't hear it in the early stuff. Like, where did that piano come from? George Martin certainly didn't do that. He played that lovely harpsichord in My Life. That's who they used to play the piano. They used George Martin. Paul McCartney doesn't suddenly put down the bass and pick up the piano and play boogie woogie honky tonk piano. It doesn't happen. You know, it takes years to learn that.
I'll need to listen more closely to that because I play the bass.
Uh-huh.
I play upright bass.
All right. Nice.
And I never really thought that.
Mm.
There's a YouTube video where Paul McCartney, or his replacement, an older Paul McCartney, is playing an upright bass that he purchased that the bass player for Elvis Presley used to use.
All right.
And just a tidbit there of trivia.
Yeah. Well, I had, I still have a friend who came from Manchester, which is not far from Liverpool, and maybe about 10, 15 years ago was involved in a musical project which involved the Paul McCartney being. And what was interesting is what he told me is that when they were doing a recording and McCartney was playing the piano, my friend said, okay, so are you going to play the bass? He said, no, I don't play the bass. I'll get somebody else to do that. Interesting, eh? That was from the horse's mouth. So
the whole band Wings, the whole Wings thing was the... Yeah, he does, now that I think about it, he does play differently on Wings than he did in the Beatles.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Wings, the great music of Wings, all the good stuff was Denny Lane, who came from the Small Faces.
Okay.
You know, Band on the Run, all those great songs, epic songs. That's Denny Lane. That's not McCartney or William Campbell or Fall, as they call him. What happened, right? Okay, so here's the story of how Wings happened, and this is why he fell out with John Lennon. Okay. So the idea was that there was this guy, he was a replacement. He was as happy as he could be because he used to be in a Beatles covers band and knew some of the songs anyway, and was he entered a Paul McCartney lookalike contest, which was how they found the replacement. So they brought him into the band. McCartney had been now there's several stories about what happened to the real McCartney. Some people say he was assassinated. Some people would say he was killed in a car crash.
Right.
After an argument with Lennon in the Abbey Road studios, and he picked up it was raining. He picked up a girl on the street who was, you know, was being a helpful, nice guy. She recognized who he was. She was hugging and kissing him, and caused him to run off the road and turned the car over, and the car exploded, and she managed to escape out a window before the car exploded, decapitating Paul McCartney. The boys...
It was all flat top?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Flat top. All the story of Come Together is, it's gruesome. You know, he's got feet down below his knees. His legs were broken, and they were just like put him in a pile.
Right.
He's got juju eyeball. He's shooting Coca-Cola. You know, his blood's coming out. He's got hair, you know, his face was burned, his hair was burned off. You know, it was recognizably just about him, but it was a mess. It was a mangled mess. And this is the whole thing, all the beheaded photos in various Beatles albums and things like that. They got this replacement in. He had the plastic surgery to look more and more like McCartney. They grew the moustache. It was a fake moustache because he had to cover the scars on his lips In order to go on TV and things like that, they put plonked a fake moustache on it, made him grow his hair long, had wigs so that it would cover up all the plastic surgery marks. So, but the thing is, the real Paul McCartney had this palsy thing, is that like the left side of his face was sort of dropped. Very hard to fake, you know. He must have gone through some really serious plastic surgery in order to give him, to make him look less less perfect. If you see what I mean. But anyway, what happened was that when Linda Eastman was a photographer, she, you know, her father was Eastman of Eastman Kodak, and she was a photographer. She was a pop photographer and had been photographing Beatles since they started. And you know, after a while, she's thinking, "Hey, I said this ain't the same guy." So when she was, she went up to him eventually and confronted him and said, "Look, I'm an imaging expert, and I know that you're not who you say you are." Now, here's the thing. The penalty for revealing the truth in this situation was death, because it was an official secret. They managed to get them all to sign the Official Secrets Act, which is a death penalty for receiving this. And this, in my opinion, is the reason that Brian Jones, Brian Epstein, and Jimi Hendrix, at least, were murdered. Because they were about to tell the story. Also, why John Lennon was murdered, and why George Harrison was attacked and eventually died. For revealing this official secret.
Wow.
Yeah. That puts a whole new thing, because I believe that they put in memes. And the meme is, "Oh, rock stars die of drug overdoses." Well, show me Keith Richards, will you? It's like, this guy survived them all. He knew he had to keep his mouth shut. Because I think that's, you know, the Rolling Stones were in on it. Everybody knew about it, but nobody was allowed to speak it. And it's become a deep, dark secret.
Now, I don't remember. Now, why did they want a McCartney replacement?
Because the Beatles were at the height of their fame at the, you know, in 1965, height of their fame, and they were making loads of money for EMI. EMI is an organization that builds equipment for military installations. So the link between EMI and MI5 is not far, you know, considering that the character like Q, you know, in James Bond film, the Q character, he's AMI, you know. Anything you want, any gadgets you want built, that's what they did. They were the record publishing company. They would make records, but, you know, it was like using a lathe, you know, like a machine lathe, to make records in those days. They actually had an engineer turning a little wheel slowly and smoothly. It wasn't a mechanical process. It was actually a hand-done process. When they made a record, this guy would be sitting there turning the wheel very carefully and steadily. So, you know, that's the level of technology that they had then. It was very manual. Anyway, so the death penalty. So Paul McCartney said to Linda Eastman, she said, you know, "Marry me and make me a rock star, or I'll tell all." Now, Paul McCartney knew that that was going to be disastrous for her, and he thought, you know, he sort of fancied her a bit. So that's why they suddenly got married. And then the idea originally was that Paul would basically help them finish all the unfinished songs, last a few more years, wait for the contract to run out, and then they split up and everybody would go back into obscurity. But when Linda Eastman comes along, she wants to be Linda McCartney, and they want to form a band. So he taught her how to play piano, so she played the keyboards on the thing, and they roped in Denny Lane, who'd just come out of Small Faces, and formed Wings. And that's why Wings is so shit. Oops, crap, rubbish. Not very good. Ship shape. So, because basically, that, you know, they were only relying on one real musical talent, which is Denny Lane.
Hmm.
And that's why John Lennon fell out with him, because that wasn't part of the deal. The deal was that they'd go into obscurity, and then maybe later on somebody would tell. And so far, the story has not been told, and many people have died. Many people have died.
But maybe not Jim Morrison. There's a new story going out there about that he's still alive, and this one is, I don't know if the book's out yet. It's in a chapter of some book some guy came out with, that he talked to an intelligence officer on his deathbed for the Office of Naval Intelligence, because Morrison's father was an admiral in the Navy, and he controlled the Asian sector of naval intelligence, and he had gotten word that they were going to kill his son, and so he used his naval intelligence auspices to get him out of there, to fake his death. And this guy on his deathbed said he was on a submarine leaving Greece, going to New Mexico, a U.S. submarine, and Morrison was on the submarine.
Wow.
And that they had given him a new identity in Texas and something like that. God, I gotta find this book. I heard about this a couple of months ago. And it, you know, sounds kind of plausible. I mean, his dad was a huge mucky muck in the Navy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, all these kids were Army brats.
Right.
And
Hendricks. No, Hendricks was in the Army.
Hendricks in the Army.
He was a paratrooper, yeah.
And Frank Zappa's dad was a germ warfare guy.
Right.
And, they're all Army brats. And I'm just going to download this. Right. So, if you... what's the name of your show, Michael?
Oh, it's The Art of Dreaming. Wednesdays.
Wednesdays at 5 PST.
Yeah.
That's marvelous. That's brilliant. And what do you go by in the chat room?
Worfpo.
Oh, you're Worfpo. Oh, right. Okay, that brings it all together. Because, yeah, I spoke to you a few weeks ago, didn't I?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, you came on the show. Excellent. So, we've got about 2 minutes left, I think. I'm just desperately downloading... no, that didn't happen, did it? Right. Downloading a show that I need to... play just after this, because I've got the Wolf Spirit radio stream as well. So I'd like to thank you for coming along. Very nice to have someone to talk to. I know you didn't get much chance to talk, but
oh, well, that's all right.
It just sparked off a couple of interesting stories there. We'll be I don't know who'll be on in on Revolution just after this. It's Hijackers? Yeah. So we'll have the hijacker. I want more cowbell. I got a fever. I love that little montage of his. It's very good. Got
the
a fever.
Solution is pop jacker.
So we'll be joining the hijacker very soon after the break, and back on Wolf Spirit Radio I'll be playing Heart Drum from last week. So God bless you all. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you for coming on, Michael, and for Rockmaster, and God bless you all. Thank you. Good night. There we go. Okay, so thank you very much for that. I'll be putting on a couple of tunes, and then we'll be playing a replay from last week of the Heart Drum show from Charles Tudog and Tracy Kennedy. So until that time, let's say yes, shall we?
I say yes to the goodness. I say yes to love. I say yes to abundance raining down from up above. I say yes.